And greetings, friends around the world. Once again, this is Roderick C. Meredith speaking to you for the Living Church of God. I'm continuing this series we've started in the book of Matthew. I had the opportunity to teach the Gospels of Christ class, for quite a number of years in Ambassador College. And so I had the chance to use that knowledge to help you, and I hope give you a deeper insight into the teaching of Jesus Christ. And here we are in one of the most profound areas of the entire Bible. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I've come up through the first several chapters of Matthew, and now we finish the first half of Matthew 6. And in this section, as you know, in Matthew 6, he talks to us, first of all, about not doing our deeds before men to show off, not praying to men to show off, and then he gives a sample prayer where we're to pray to God in this manner, not repeating those exact words, but in the manner that he gave us in what is called the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus talked to us about fasting and how Christians will fast and how we ought to fast in private to seek the invisible God, our Father. Most people don't know God. Frankly, they're not acquainted with God, but I hope many of you are or will be. And you can come to know that God if you truly walk with him, do what he says, and obey him. That's the key. Will you do what God says, or will you reason around the clear teachings of Jesus? I hope all of you will want to follow Jesus, not just as your Savior, but your Lord and your Master. As Jesus said so many times in so many different ways, as he said in Luke 6:46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We want to remember that. Lord means boss. Lord means master. Notice now Jesus' teaching on financial responsibility. This is the teaching of the one who died for you, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning here at verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." You know, many men and women today are multimillionaires. We have about 7 million people in the United States living in millionaire families. That's a lot of folks, 7 million people whose families are millionaires. And, of course, what can you do if you have several million dollars? Most of you can never spend it in a normal lifetime. But the game of Monopoly, big Monopoly, goes on and on. Get more and more and more. Jesus said that should not be your goal at all. He shows you that you have an obligation to God, your Creator, who gives you everything you have, the very breath you breathe and the very brain with which you think with, the brain with which most people reason around what God says and don't want to honor God in any way, certainly not in a financial way. So it says here, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moss nor rust destroys." See, where nothing can happen like that. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's a very important concept. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this is a reference to help you understand the teaching of the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." If your heart is in serving God and helping and building the very work of God on earth today and getting out this gospel of the kingdom of God, you will want to give generously. You will want to give bountifully as an act of worship, as an act of thanks. Plus, of course, if God opens your mind and you see the principle of tithing, that you owe God one-tenth of your income. You're not doing a favor to God. That's the rent you're paying him for your life, your breath, the use of his earth, his water, his food, his air, everything you have. But God tells you to be generous. "So let each one give as he has purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's the attitude he loves, one who gives cheerfully, one who gives generously. Let's all really understand that. And so Jesus showed that is the attitude of heart he wants. Where your treasure is, there will your heart, your whole attitude will be there in serving God and honoring him with your increase. "The lamp of the body is the eye," that is the outlook. That's what you see. That's where you have your vision. That's where you have your attention. Where is your attention? What is the most important thing? What thoughts dominate your mind? This is what Jesus is talking about. If therefore your eye is good, if your attitude is good, if your attention is focused upon the kingdom of God, serving God and your fellow man, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad or evil, as the King James has it, your whole body will be full of darkness. You see, if you're double-minded and you're thinking all the time about physical things and not really concentrating on the things of God, then, of course, your body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. You just can't do it. Most people try to do it, in a sense. If they're religious, they sort of give God a little bit of time Sunday morning or some other time, maybe brief prayers. I remember growing up and working on a farm up in northern Kansas for one summer, and I was very grateful for the help and the opportunity to be in the outdoors and to learn about farming and the wholesome life. And the man I worked with was a very good man, and I don't want to dishonor him. I appreciated his wholesomeness. And yet he was in a mainstream denomination and had, contrary to what we just saw in the Sermon on the Mount here, memorized a prayer. And every day they would bow their heads, and they'd say, "Now, Father, blah, 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 blah." And the same thing came over and over. No thought, no emotion, no personal expression, just this memorized prayer like a robot. And the minute he finished saying and said amen, then his wife would jump up like, "Well, we got rid of that," and start talking, "Oh, now we're back to the real world again." You see, they gave God a little bit of attention, but they didn't really know God. They did not understand God. God was not real to those people. No way. And so you have to have God in your life, and you need to walk with God and have him as the main thing in your life. Not a peripheral interest, but the main interest. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon means money, but in the larger sense, material things. You can't serve God and say, "I'm serving you, Father, but all the time I'm thinking about buying a bigger TV set, another car, another this, another that, getting more money, living in this material world." That is not the way a Christian thinks, period. But most of us, especially in the United States, have not learned to understand that. And I hope a lot of us can begin to understand it. Back in Colossians, I'm going to give you one more reference here in this chapter. Back in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul tells us, under inspiration, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Covetousness, which is idolatry. Many men and women today have been playing the stock market. They get in and out all day long. They buy a stock and 2 hours later sell it. Just bang, bang, money, 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 money. They count it up just like a Monopoly game. It's not wrong to have some investments in a bank or in CDs or even in the stock market to invest in the economy in a general way, but not to be playing it, not to use it in such a way your mind is on it all the time. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't let your mind be double-minded and focus on the world, the world, the world, and at the same time put the kingdom of God first. Jesus warns us about that. Covetousness is idolatry. That money, that monetary, that physical interest becomes your God. What are the thoughts that dominate your mind? Are those thoughts mainly about the kingdom of God? Again, I ask, about the ways of God, the laws of God, how you can get in God's kingdom, how you can have Jesus Christ living his life within you? Or are your thoughts dominated all day long about getting ahead in this world, making more money, or other physical things? You cannot serve two masters. Think about it. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Don't worry about having the latest style and the latest car and the latest this and the latest that." That is not the attitude of a Christian, my friends. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. He then goes on to describe how God takes care of them and how he takes care of the lilies, and they're absolutely beautiful. Verse 30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire or the oven, will not he much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" If God takes care of the birds all over, and even two sparrows cannot fall to the earth without God knowing it, Think about that. And he says, the very hairs of our head are numbered. God tells us elsewhere here in the Gospels. God certainly knows all about you. He certainly knows about your needs. He knows in detail about those things. And so don't worry about those things. He says, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will the great God, if he is your father and you're serving him, he's totally aware of your needs. He will take care of you. Therefore, do not worry. It's not wrong to work, to do the best in your job, to realize God does command also in one of the Ten Commandments, 6 days shall you work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Part of that Sabbath command is 6 days you shall work. You have 6 days for your interests and for your work and your productivity. So we need to think about that part of the command. You're to do your part, but not worry about it. Not have your mind on money, on material things. Don't worry or be anxious about it, saying, what shall we eat or drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, the people out there in the world. The heathen think about those things, the people that don't really know the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of Jesus Christ. Their mind's on those things. That's all they can talk about. That's all they know. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first, notice this, not second or third or fourth, but seek first, above everything else there is, seek first the kingdom of God, God's government, God's law, because God's government is based upon his law, the Ten Commandments, the great spiritual law of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's interesting, of course, that God tells us his righteousness is the commandments. Back in Psalm 119, verse 172, God inspired King David to write, all your commandments are righteousness. That's what they are. They tell us how to love God and how to love our fellow man. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, what you should eat and drink and what you should wear, God will give you, and he'll give you plenty. And often if you really serve him and are in a prosperous society, he may give you more than plenty. There'll be other times you may have to do without, just like the Apostle Paul. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul said that back in the book of Philippians, and you can too. But basically, he will bless you if you serve him, no question about it. Therefore, do not worry or have anxious thoughts. Have your mind all the time about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about the things of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own evil. You'll have enough trouble today without worrying about tomorrow. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to do? And trying to save too much money for the future and having your mind on that. God says, do good. Be generous. Put your treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. Do your part toward the kingdom of God and serve others and serve your God, and God will take care of you. And above all, seek ye first, above everything else, in the way you think and act and do, in the use of your time, your talents, your energy. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these material things will be added to you. But above all and beyond that, you'll have a place in God's family and the coming kingdom of God to be set up on this earth. It's real. It's just ahead. So let's do our part. Let's get ready. That's it for today, and we'll continue right on through the book of Matthew in this wonderful Sermon on the Mount. Again, this is Roderick C. Meredith speaking for the Living Church of God.